Good news, stock market going up. Dow rallying 600 points, NASDAQ up 2%. Let's get more on what's happening with your money with David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending for Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Our happy days here again. Morning, David.
Well, morning, Bob. If you've got money in the stock market, it's a great day. Most of our listeners, unfortunately, have less than $500 in their checking account and $20,000 to $50,000 on their credit cards. So if you're part of the lucky group that has money invested in the stock market, yeah, it's been a good little run the past couple of years.
The Labor Department canceled the October jobs report. And is this because of the period that the government was shut down?
Yeah, allegedly it's due to the fact that they were shut down, but they're now open again, and the information sitting there that can be disseminated and put out into the marketplace. But what a lot of the experts are saying, the reason they don't want to put it out is because the job numbers are not great. The problem with the federal government, trying to block job information is that you've got other sources that report that same information, like ADP. U.S. companies lost 2,500 jobs per week in October, so there's a good indication why the feds don't want to release it. That's according to ADP, the payroll company. U.S. Labor Department also reports that initial jobless claims totaled 232,000 in the week ended October 18th. Here's another bad mark for the economy, Bob. U.S. mass layoff warnings are rising at a concerning pace. 39,000 Americans were given advanced layoff notice in October, second largest since 2020 pandemic. These notices, a lot of our listeners might not be aware of this, are issued under what's called the Worker Adjustment and Retaining Notification Act, which obligates employers to provide at least a 60-day heads up before a mass layoff or plant closing. Here's what's scary as heck, Bob. That's a 162% spike since August. Since 2006, WARN notices only have been higher in 2008, 9, 2020, and May of 2025. Mm. So the trend is not good. Let's just say that.
Got any good news for us? Aren't the mortgage rates down?
Yeah. Mortgage rates are down. Good news is I have Tony. I'm standing outside of the fifth floor. Going to go speak at the public comment section of the county board meeting to personally invite Toni Preckwinkle on my show, because I can't get through to her office and let her know how she's hurting Cook County residents with her ridiculous delay of tax bills. I've got Maria Pappas coming on, Bob. This is really important. I had a listener call into my show this past Saturday in panic because they didn't know what to do with their tax bills, had to pay it. They lost all their exemptions on their tax bill. Tax bill was an extra $3,000 that they don't have. They're getting money from their church and food from their church to survive. So I helped them out this week. So I invited Maria Pappas, the treasurer of the fine county of Cook, and who's going to be running for mayor. She's going to be calling into my show at 4 o'clock this Saturday. So if you've got any questions or concerns about your tax bill, which I know a lot of our listeners do, that live in Cook County, tune in. And one last thing, Bob, it's 117 days, I want to remind everybody, until St. Patrick's Day. That's the day that the polls will be open for Cook County elected officials, where Toni Preckwinkle and Fritz Kagi, the two leaders of this clown show of our tax bills, will be up for re-election. And the voters of Cook County will have 117 days to express how they feel in their vote on St. Patrick's Day.
You are free to disagree with David Hochberg. Just call in a Saturday. Your show is going to be on a little later than normal, right?
Yeah. Exciting. Northwestern football pushed us back. They got an 11 o'clock start. So we'll be going off, I don't know, 2:30 or 3, or depending upon how long the game goes with the Gophers, the Minnesota Gophers.
Before we let you go, you mentioned credit card debt. What is the best tip still, if you want to pay some of that down, just look at your highest rate and largest balance and start there?
Yeah, that's one way to do it, Bob. Another way to do it is list all your credit cards, list the amount outstanding with the minimum payment, divide those two to find out what percentage of your outstanding balance is going to the minimum payment. And what I like to do, Bob, and recommend to our listeners is if they have a couple of three or four or five smaller cards, a couple of $200-$300, knock those out first, get the win, right? Get a little momentum behind you, save a little dough by knocking those out. Don't close them. That's the biggest mistake a lot of our listeners do is after they pay them off, they close them. Worst thing you could do, you just lost all your gains. And then just slowly but surely start chipping away at the iceberg. How do you eat an elephant, Bob? One bite at a time, right? So you start with the smaller ones, get some wins, and then just start attacking the larger ones. And, you do it over a longer period of time, it will go down, it will go away.
You don't want to close out because you want the card to still be open and active because that's good for your credit score, isn't it?
Correct. That's the availability. So if you have $10,000 worth of credit card limits, Bob, and you have $9,900 worth of balances, you're at 99% capacity of your credit cards, which is bad. If you then take that limit down to $999, you're at 9%, right? 9.9%, which is fantastic. If you then take your $10,000 down to $1,000, you're back to 99%, right? Mm-hmm. Which is horrible. Mm-hmm. So you're much better. Always when I'm talking to listeners and recommending they take out HELOCs, I always recommend they take out more than what they need because that extra availability actually helps them enhance their credit and gives them availability, access to that liquidity in the future if they have that moment that they never thought they'd have where they needed to dip into that money.
Well, one thing I don't understand, you say start with the smaller balances you have on the credit cards, but you're not spending that much money in interest on those balances, are you?
No, but you're getting a win, right? By knocking the three or four. What I've experienced helping listeners out over 25 years, Bob, is that every once in a while they have so many credit cards that one or two get through the five hole and they miss a payment. Mm-hmm. So if they just take care of the smaller four or five that maybe total $1,000 or they $1,500, which is a lot of money, and they can knock those four out, keep them open, and then just focus on the other six or seven, that has been a huge success that I've seen over the past 25 years. Plus, you get a little bit of a, hey, I just paid off four credit cards, mm-hmm. right? Now let's go after the fifth one. Hey, I just knocked out the fifth one. Great. I just saved $300, $400, $500, $600 by knocking out those smaller cards. Now I've got those funds to apply to the bigger cards, and it's, you just start exponentially paying them off. And another tip, I know we got to hit a break here, is pay them off every time you get paid. Right. Once you get money in your account, don't wait for the bill to come. Start chipping away at them every time you get money in your account, because that will reduce the amount of interest that you pay over time and help you pay those credit cards off faster and then help you enhance your credit profile and credit scores.
That is a good tip that people don't think about. More from David Hochberg on the radio here Saturday afternoon. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Bob. Take care, buddy.